Our scripture reading for the morning you can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12 to 18. And by God's help we will meditate on one verse, verse 17. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 to 18. Here is the word of God. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, dear church family, I heard many times that some Christians will say the chief calling of Christians in this world is to be a good person, doing good things in the workplace, to be different in the workplace, in this world. Yes, it is very important to be different, to do things according to the Lord in this world. However, is that the chief one? As we meditate on the word of God from 1 Corinthians 1:17, we will see that Paul exhorts all believers that the chief calling of each of believer in this world is to evangelize and proclaim the cross of Christ for his sake. So our theme today is child of God, proclaim. We will see 3 points. First, we will see the calling of the believer. Second, the method of the proclamation. And third, the content of this proclamation. So the city of Corinth is full of paganism and all kinds of sins. And the Corinthian church was influenced by it. It mingled Christianity with their old religion, including those false speech, prostitution. Many problems occurred in Corinthian church. Division, idolatry, immorality, and moreover, they're allured by Greek philosophy. So in chapter 1, Paul rebukes them for their division. The believer of Corinth are divided into many groups. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am of Christ. For different reasons, maybe according to their state, their reputation, or maybe their speech skill, they quarrel for their minister. They exalt man instead of Christ. This is why Paul rebukes it in the next verse, using rhetorical question to say that the only head of the church is Christ. It is Jesus Christ himself crucified for their sins. And it is only in his name they're baptized. So someone may have a question. You may have a question. Why does Paul use baptism here to address the problem of division? The answer is in our text today. In verse 17a, Paul speaks clearly that he who was called to an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God was not called chiefly to baptize. Why does division happen? Why? Because people put their eyes on what man's doing. When someone baptized them, they would boast about that. If they were taught by someone who has a higher reputation, they will boast about that. So Paul just used one example, baptism, which is very important in Christian life, to show that they must look upon Christ alone. Even for such a very important sacrament, they should not focus on people, but they should focus on Christ. They should know in whose name they're baptized. They need to know that their only focus is on Jesus Christ. This is why Paul says here his chief calling is not to baptize. So today, many churches put too much emphasis on sacraments, musical worship, and all other activities to just attract people to the church. So many ministers use different methods to draw people near to the church, and their goal is to grow their churches, mounting the numbers of members by baptizing them. Yes, it is good. It is good to see the Church of Christ grows in number. But we should never make the ministry as a man-centered ministry, focusing on all different things other than Jesus Christ himself. So on the contrary, Paul argues in the following words, he was sent to preach the gospel. So Paul was sent by Christ to preach the gospel. He was not called to be a public figure, a public speaker, or an orator. He was called to be an ambassador of Christ, proclaiming the gospel, proclaim the good news. But we need to notice that Paul is not saying that baptism is not important. If so, he would not baptize Crispus or Gaius and the household of Stephanus. Jesus Christ himself command apostles to baptize others in the name of triune God. So why does Paul say so? Not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So Charles Hodge comments this way. It means that baptism is very inferior to preaching. It is subordinated in the form of the commission. The sacrament is important and it's very essential. It is a seal and the sign of the promise of God. However, the greatest priority must be given to preaching and exposition of the Word of God. A reformer even says this: without preaching the Word, the sacraments are worthless performances, void of all fruits. So maybe some of you think this verse is only applied to certain people. Maybe just for ministers, pastors. They should preach the gospel, and maybe I don't need to. I'm just a member of church. But actually, it's applicable and commanded to each follower of Jesus Christ. The original word for preach in this verse has the meaning of evangelize. It contains not only the pulpit preaching, but it also involves the proclamation of the gospel publicly. Maybe the street evangelism or other public places. It involves private conversation, maybe at home, with your children, with your grandchildren, maybe at your workplace, to your co-workers. The chief calling for all of you as the followers of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the good news, to proclaim Jesus Christ. So there are two applications under the first point. First, if you are a Christian, you are appointed to proclaim the gospel. It's not optional. It's not something that you feel to do when you are emotionally high. No. If you do not feel that way, you should do it for the sake of Christ. It's not for the sake of us, but for the sake of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe to us if we do not proclaim, if we do not share this wonderful news. What a strong language Paul uses here. Beloved, when you do not feel to do that, pray and ask help from God to give you this boldness and clarity and wisdom to proclaim this precious gospel. Imagine that. Maybe when you get something very good, you want to share this good news to your friends, don't you? Maybe you bought something in town, maybe has a very huge discount. You want to share everyone, come to buy it. How much more for this good news? How much more for this gospel? Then how come that you do not want to share with others? Child of God, proclaim this gospel. Second application is that you should never exalt man. You should always exalt Christ alone. I find it is normal today that some Christians pursue famous preachers. the message or the topic of conference cannot attract people to come. Jesus Christ alone, the message, cannot attract people. On the contrary, many Christians prefer to go to some conference where have famous preachers. They're not focusing on Jesus Christ, but they're focusing on the man. So, dear believers, you should always, and I should always, examine ourselves. Who are we focusing on? Jesus Christ or human beings? And also, when we share the gospel, we need to examine ourselves as well. Am I exalting Jesus Christ, or am I exalting myself? So now, when the Bible speaks to each of us that our chief calling is to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel, maybe you doubt. I don't think God gives me this gift to proclaim. I am not trained enough. I cannot speak well. Maybe some of you will have this concern about the skill for communication. So let's see, how does Paul say about this? So it is our second point, the method of proclamation in 17b. He says this way, not with wisdom of words. What does Paul mean here? Paul does not mean that we do not need wisdom. No, the Bible teaches us we should pray for the wisdom of God. Paul is saying here, not with humanly wisdom of words. As Paul elaborates in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he basically speaks that a believer should not proclaim the gospel with enticing words of men to pursue the excellency of speech. Dear beloved, when you share this good news to others, there are some methods you have to be careful about. These methods should be banned. First, you should not depend on your own wisdom. Using all kinds of eloquence and rhetorical skills. However, I'm not saying that it's unlawful to use rhetoric and eloquence. It is good to use rhetorical skills and logic in order to proclaim the gospel more clearly and to make the message more understandable to them. And Paul uses much rhetoric in his letter. So these skills per se are good, as long as not contrary to the simplicity of the gospel. Paul is saying that you should not depend on these and put your focus on your humanly wisdom. Otherwise, your audience, the people who you share with, would just be impressed intellectually, not lead their conscience to divine salvation. If you only focus on your eloquence, then the gospel is no more at the center. Second, we should not use abstract or speculative manner, as what the philosophers do, As I mentioned before, people in Corinth were allured by all kinds of Greek philosophers at that time. As a result, Paul also wants to express that the proclaiming the gospel should not in the philosophical manner. Paul calls these vain discussion. Likewise, you should not proclaim the gospel this way, using very hard, incomprehensible, and circling language to express the simple message. Third, you should not use humanly wisdom, not using the word of God, or just use partially word of God to proclaim. Today, easy believism is very popular because they want to attract people to the church. They use humanly wisdom. Many people will say, God loves you. If you believe in him, he will grant you the good health and prosperity. No, dear friend, it's not gospel. It is the words of man. And it does not attract people to Christ, but it attracts people to something else. Therefore, God calls each of you to proclaim this good news, not with your own wisdom, but with the power of God through the help of the Holy Spirit. As Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 13, he says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Therefore, it is not about your wisdom. It is about Christ. You are only the servant, the instrument to simply proclaim the truth which God has showed you, revealed you in the Bible. Only with the power of God, by his own word, the gospel itself could be made effect. Only with the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ himself could be exalted. So there is some message for you that when you share the gospel. First, we should always pray to God before you proclaim the gospel, asking help and wisdom from God to help you clearly illustrate the simplicity of the gospel to others. Second, be tender and meek always. You must conform yourself to your Lord Jesus Christ. Even though you are facing rejection, humiliation, or even persecution, answer them with tenderness and meekness. Third, always be humble. When someone has good response to what you share, do not give credit to yourself. Praise the Lord for his gracious mercy. Always give thanks to the Lord for his wondrous work. For his wondrous work on you and the person who you shared with. So, dear beloved, when we come to the last point, you may ask, so what should we proclaim? What should we proclaim? In short, what is the essence of the gospel? From verse 17c, Paul says, lest the cross of Christ, should be made no effect. The essence of gospel is the cross of Christ. I need to clarify here. Paul is not saying other writings in the Bible is not important. No. It's very good for you to share to others about the creation of God, to show them the God's work on Israelites, many stories, parables in the New Testament. Yes, it's very good. However, the gospel message is incomplete without proclaiming Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work on the cross. So let's see these two elements, what we should proclaim. First, you must proclaim the gospel. You must share this good news clearly that Jesus is the Christ. Paul does not say the cross of a great prophet or the cross of a great teacher, but cross of Christ. He is the anointing one by God. He is not merely a prominent moral teacher, but Son of God. He is the God-man. He is the Messiah. As John 20:31 states, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You must proclaim, you must share that Jesus is the Christ. Today, many people would agree with the teaching of Jesus Christ, even though they do not believe in the person of Christ. They regard him as a moral teacher or a normal philosopher. There is no difference between his words and the words, the writings of Plato or the book of Buddhism. The word of Christ in their mind is just merely a guidance of a good life. But it is not. It is more than that. It is the word of the only truth. It is the word of life. The books in this world cannot lead people to eternal life. They can only lead them to eternal death. Although there will be some common truth in those books by God's common grace, but only the Word of God can lead people to eternal life by His grace. Dear believers, when you share the good news, you must tell them that Jesus is Christ. He is Son of God. You must tell them that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You must tell them that the only way to salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Only the name of Christ. This is the essence of the gospel. This is indispensable part that each of you should proclaim, should share that Jesus is Christ. Second, not only proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, but also his sacrificial work on the cross. I have heard many times when I was in China that believers often speak to others, often share the gospel this way, like to share them the miracles that Jesus Christ did. Yes, the miracle itself is very important because it confirms the divine nature of Jesus Christ. However, if you just share the miracles, it is not complete gospel because they will only be impressed by his power or his love. And Jesus Christ knows that many people just like the miracles instead of trusting in himself. Therefore, we should not just share Jesus Christ's miracles. That is cheap gospel. We must proclaim the cross of Christ. I will list three reasons why we must proclaim the cross. First, you must proclaim the cross of Christ to show them their sinful and miserable state. Why must Jesus Christ die on the cross? Because he must carry all sins of his people so that they can have life. Every human being is sinners, and each of us is in the state of misery. And Jesus Christ must be hung on the cross, on the tree, to be made a curse to redeem sinners, to redeem those who believe in him. On the one hand, Jesus Christ's death is for the glory for his Father. On the other hand, he died on the cross because he is the propitiation for sinners, for his people. Therefore, you must proclaim the cross of Christ to show their sinfulness, to show their sin. Second, you must proclaim the cross of Christ to show that only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away their sins. You must tell them that their good works and their reputation, their wealth, cannot help them at all. They cannot help them to wash away their sins. They are not redeemed by what they have. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19, Peter says, "The sinners are redeemed only by the precious blood of Jesus." That is why each of you must proclaim the cross of Christ. You must show them that the only deliverance is in Jesus Christ. And the third and final point, you must proclaim the cross to show them they need to die to sin and live to Christ with gratitude. If they're saved by Christ's grace, if they're saved by God's grace, they need to know the cross of Christ does not give them freedom to sin anyway. No. On the contrary, if they believe in Jesus Christ, they already died with Christ. So they should live unto him with gratitude. They need to live with gratitude they should live according to his word. Dear friends, if you are child of God, this is what you should share. This is what you should proclaim. This is the wisdom and the power of God that saves sinners. It's not the wisdom of the world. When the world is seeking a sign, wealth, or other things, you should proclaim the cross of Christ. You should proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. He is Messiah. You should proclaim his cross to show their misery state, deliverance of Christ, and their living with gratitude, which is summarized in Heidelberg Catechism. Misery state, deliverance of Christ, and gratitude living. As I close the sermon, I want to tell a story. I once heard a story. I don't know if maybe it's from China or America. So there's a diamond merchant. He is promoting an extraordinary diamond to a young man. But instead of speaking of all the amazing qualities of the diamond itself, the seller only speaks to him about the box that encases the diamond. He talks about the box material, excellent color, and delicate design of the box. So afterward, the young man finally decides to buy the box, not the diamond, because he thinks the small box is much worthy to buy. The story is ironic, isn't it? The diamond merchant sold a box instead of selling a diamond. Dear beloved in the Lord, you are like the merchant. Your chief goal is simply to present the diamond itself to others, which is the gospel, which is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ crucified. So baptizing others, doing good to others, using all skillful ways, just like the box, they are good. They are good and important as long as they function to highlight the beauty of the diamond. If the box obscures the glory of the diamond, then you are not doing the right thing. As one theologian says this way, whatever obscures the cross deprives the gospel of its power. Whatever obscures the cross deprives the gospel of its power. Therefore, child of God, you must remember your chief calling in this world is to proclaim this precious gospel, the cross of Christ, the heart of which is the cross of Christ. You do not proclaim with human wisdom, but by the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, you proclaim this gospel. Child of God, proclaim. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us such precious, wonderful gospel that Jesus Christ crucified, the cross of Christ. Oh Lord, please give each of us the boldness, the wisdom, the clarity to simply proclaim this wonderful truth so that you can be glorified, so that Jesus Christ alone can be exalted. Help us, O Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.